I'm telling you, Quinn, you're drinking us out of house and home. Ah, rubbish, you bat, the man retorted, slurring his words. There was silence for a moment as Samuel's mother swapped out an iron warming on the hearth for the one she had been using, then continued with her ironing. You could go check out the mansion on Samba Island. He turned with a jerk, shocked into lucidity from his drunkenness. Samba Island? That's the devil's playground. Why would I go there? Poppycock. That's just a bunch of superstitious hogwash. Samuel goes there once a week and nothing happens to him. That's because he's deaf. He ain't no threat to the devil when he can't hear what he's up to. Well, I don't see you going out there, woman. If I don't stay home and do others' laundry, we don't eat, since you can't keep a job due to your liquoring up. He mumbled something under his breath that she was sure she didn't want to hear. Think of all the beautiful baubles that must adorn that mansion. Sammy came home with that lovely coat. She pointed to a stylish black wool men's coat hanging over the back of one of the chairs. He says there's a young woman working there in the house. Really? I never heard of anybody working on that godforsaken island ever. Well, she does. Must not be from around here, that's for sure. No. Sammy says she traveled over the ocean to come work on the island. She's probably one of them tar witches from another country. Sammy says she's just a nice young woman. Bet you could sneak right in, stash a bit of silver in your pockets, and none would be the wiser. Are you insane, woman? I ain't stealing from the devil. You will if I tell you to. The hell you say? I say. And you will go or you will find the door barred when you come home next.
But Maisie by this time was far beyond reach, enjoying the sunshine way off in Palm Beach, and having such fun, such a wonderful rest, decided she'd never go back to her nest. So Horton kept sitting there day after day. And then it was autumn, the leaves blew away. And then came winter, the snow and the sleet, and icicles hung from his trunk and his feet. But Horton kept sitting and said with a sneeze,
I'll stay on this egg and I won't let it freeze. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful, 100%.
So poor Horton sat there the whole winter through, and then came the springtime with troubles anew. His friends gathered round and they shouted with glee,
Look! Horton the elephant's up in a tree!
They taunted, they teased him, they yelled,
How absurd! Old Horton the elephant thinks he's a bird!
They laughed and they laughed, then they all ran away. And Horton was lonely. He wanted to play. But he sat on that egg and continued to say,
I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful, 100%. No matter what happens, this egg must be tended.
But poor Horton's troubles were far, far from ended. For while Horton sat there, so faithful, so kind, three hunters came sneaking up softly behind. And the first thing he knew, they had built a big wagon, with ropes on the front for the pullers to drag on. They dug up his tree and they put it inside, with Horton so sad that he practically cried.
We're off,
the men shouted, and off they all went, with Horton unhappy. 100%. Suddenly, she heard the tones of a bird not usually found in that part of the wood. Immediately, almost panic-stricken, she spun around. What news? She cried, her eyes frantically searching the treetops. And from out of the leaves it came. Down upon her hand it landed. But the message it brought was in the form of a riddle that had to be deciphered. The bird dropped a tiny package from its beak into Bagley's hand. Then it flew up and was gone. Bagley examined the message carefully, intent on not misreading the subtlety in her palm. She turned it this way and that, studying it at every angle. It is a leaf, she thought, an oak leaf. But the token was not simply that, for this leaf was not as it had fallen. It was delicately folded and tied. She did not yet understand its meaning. She looked closer. It was indeed an oak leaf. But it had been rolled around a thin, hard object hidden within, held closed by the wrapping and tying of a single strand of hair. The contrivance was doubtless a deliberate reply to the message she had sent 5 days before. Otherwise, the swallow would have returned with the lavender, or not returned at all. The strand of hair was of Eldor's color and length, and this token was manufactured by one who understood the meaning of the lavender she had sent, and knew to reply to it. She untied and unwrapped the oak leaf. Within she found a small, thin pin of iron. One end was sharp and pointed, the other was flat. This was not a natural thing. It was man-made, perhaps used to secure pieces of wood. And it was not a pretty thing, so therefore it could not be a token of friendship or a gift. It must be a sign or message, something she needed to interpret and understand. Things must have gone awry for Eldor. He must be trapped or in need. Where is he? The leaf was fresh and large, newly fallen. He was near a great oak.